and welcome to the September edition of the Adoption Star podcast. This month we'll be speaking with the Adoption Star Adoption Supervisor, Sue Kolak, on all issues regarding adoptive families, where to find adoption support and education. We'll be speaking about open adoption, as well as many other adoption topics. We hope you enjoy, and if you have any other questions for Adoption Star or for Sue, you can always email the agency at info@adoptionstar.com. Sue, why don't you just speak a little bit about your role at Adoption Star and how you work with the adoptive families?
Sure. Thanks, Alex. My role with Adoption Star is I work with the adoptive families in that I help them with getting prepared to be home study ready. I work with them throughout the duration that they're hoping to see a placement of a child, whether it's through domestic adoption, international adoption, even if our families are exploring other alternatives. But I am working with the families, helping them understand there's ups, there's downs, there's good days, there's bad days. But in the long run, my goal is to keep my families as positive as possible. I'm available to talk to them about any questions they have because there's a million questions. So that's my role. It's a very busy job. It's a fun job. And having been an adoptive parent, it's an awesome job.
Okay. And what advice do you typically give to families who are considering growing their families through adoption?
The advice, I guess, that I would give to any family is that it is possible. I have experienced different families that they don't believe that at times, and that's disappointing to me. It is possible. There are so many children that deserve to have a family, and so many families willing to have children, and finding that maybe the way they had thought to grow their family wasn't the way it's going to happen, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. There are many different ways. So that's my best advice, I think, is stay positive, believe in yourself, and believe it's going to happen.
Oftentimes, families can struggle with the wait while they're waiting for a match of with an expecting mother. What are some of the ways to make this wait a little bit easier?
You know, that's such a great question because I get a lot of calls, and it really is more about that struggle of what do I do with my time, and I'm just waiting for this phone call to come, and what else can I do to make myself more available or more considered for these different phone calls. And really, if you think of it, if you're a family that's looking to adopt a child that may come into your life in the next week, you really are missing that opportunity of that nesting period. Like somebody that is expecting a child that they're going to give birth to, they are preparing for 9-10 months before they have that baby. And so they are doing everything from taking care of the little small jobs around the house and putting together the nursery. And so all those little things that you would do, that nesting stuff, do that now. Read books, especially about adoption. Read children's books. Read adult books. Everything that pertains to that. If you're adopting internationally, your child's going to speak a different language possibly. They're going to have a different culture. Become familiar with those things. You want to be able to allow your child to feel embraced by the adoption process that you've gone through. And so you want to be as well informed about that as possible. You want to be able to feel that you have done everything you can possibly do. So if you are seeing a child come to you tomorrow, you're not all of a sudden in a frantic hurry as to what you're going to do, because that's not the place you want to be at. You want to feel you're best prepared for that to happen in a moment's notice. So now's the time to take care of all those other little small issues.
Okay, so then while you're waiting, when you finally get that call that there may in fact be a match for you, what should you be considering when deciding whether to accept this match of an expecting parent and maybe your possible child?
You've got to be realistic with yourself. Now, any family I've worked with that this might be the first time they're getting a call for a domestic placement, they're going to feel this tremendous pressure that they have to say yes. God forbid they say no, because their concern is they're never going to get another call. This might be their only opportunity. And you have to try to practice not allowing yourself to think like that. You have to be practical and realistic when you say yes to any profile opportunity. What are the fees that are going to be involved with this? What is the time frame? Is this person expecting to deliver within a week? Are they expecting to deliver in 6 months? What's the date on your home study? And how does the date of when that person's expecting pertain to the date on your home study and your clearances and everything that went into that? What are things that you have on your schedule that may or may not prohibit you from accepting that profile? I mean, is there somebody that has to go out of the country and that's something that can't be avoided? Is it something related to your house? Are you moving from one house into another house and this is going to happen in the middle of it? Come on, those are both huge stressors. So you really want to know that you're accepting something, feeling that you're going to be able to take on that challenge, because parenting is a challenge. And taking in an infant, even though we all want that immediately, that's still such a huge challenge and adjustment and a change in our life. So you really want to be realistic. You want to even answer in your mind the hard question of, am I prepared? And you're really the only one that can answer that. So the advocates will help with pushing you to ask yourself that, but you're the only one that can answer that.
Okay, now that's some great advice. Now, what about when you've received your placement and you are now parenting your child? When is the appropriate time to start speaking about adoption, speaking about their birth parents? When should that topic be brought up? What age should you specifically really start talking about adoption?
Alex, I'm so glad that you bring that up, because I know we talk about this a lot in the agency, and then somehow it sort of gets forgotten sometimes when the family actually has the child with them. You know, there's no better time than when a child can't even understand the words coming from your mouth for you to start talking about it, because that's the opportunity for you to really be practicing what you're saying. So you might be making blunders. You might be not exactly saying the right words, but you know what? They're not going to hold you for it because they can't really understand what you're saying. So this is where you perfect their story. This is where you perfect your comfort level with sharing with the child that story and the fact that they've been adopted. And other people hearing you say that too will understand how important it is for your child to know their identity comes from their story. And you're their historian. And that's a huge role. So you really have to be practiced at that.
Now, Adoption Star is a huge proponent of open adoption. Can you just speak a little bit more about open adoption and the advantages of having an open adoption?
An open adoption would be when you actually have the ability to be talking with, sharing information one-on-one, meeting with the birth family, the child getting their story from the birth family. That's the key to an open adoption. I myself, if I can go on a personal rant here a little bit, am very pro-open adoption. And this is coming from somebody who adopted a child who was born internationally. And my daughter's from Russia, and I am missing so much information about her history, her identity that comes from her history. And it's so difficult for me to be able to help her create a very positive birth story. I had to draw on things such as, wow, your mother must have been just beautiful because look at you and that hair. You tell me that you learned that you got your hair color from your father, and she's this gorgeous strawberry blonde that I've never seen two people with the same color hair. And I can't stress to her enough how fortunate she is that her parents have given her these two things. But it seems to me so minimal, and it seems to me only give her positive feelings about her physical look, and I want things for her emotional stability, and that I can't give to her. So that's why I, on a personal note, feel that open adoption is so important. There's no better person to give you the message about why there was a decision that you were placed for adoption and why your adoptive parents are fantastic people than the person that made that choice and selected the adoptive family for the child to be raised with and to become a member of the family of.
Now, Adoption Star is well known for all of its education and support for birth parents and for adoptive parents throughout the journey up until placement. We also offer a lot of education and support after the placement has been made. Can you just talk a little bit about our support groups and everything else that Adoption Star Adoption Star does.
Absolutely. We have a number of different support groups with the agency. The support group that is geared specifically towards the adoptive families is called SOFIA, which stands for Support of Families Interested in Adoption. And I really think that that is I think it's a wonderful opportunity for families to become members of SOFIA, to become familiar with it, to participate in the different events, activities, or trainings that they offer. Training prior to becoming adoptive parents is essential as far as I'm concerned. But then there's ongoing needs as your children are growing and developing and going through different stages. Remember that no child comes with a book on how to parent them. So education throughout the years is going to be so important. How we were parented by our parents is a great influence for us at times, but other times maybe we had parents that weren't as involved as we would like to be with our own children. So there's things that we need to learn, and how we parent today may need to be totally different than how our parents parented yesterday. I mean, even the electronic world today, my mother wouldn't be able to navigate that, so I'm learning all that kind of stuff and how to keep my daughter safe on that end. So support groups are going to be important. Education's going to be important. But I really want to go back to the support group piece, Alex, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
The support group piece is so very, very important because not just for you do you need that support, do you need that reassurance, do you need to learn from other families who are experiencing the questions or possible concerns related to having adopted a child versus having a child come to your family through birth. But you also want for your children to have that community of adoption with them. They want to know and feel, they have the right to feel, I should say, that it's normal and it's wonderful and it's beautiful that they came to your family through adoption, and that other children came to families through adoption. So support groups are what they are because there's a reason for them, and it really is a great opportunity for families. And, you know, they shouldn't be seen as something that, oh, God, I have to participate. Instead, it should be like, wow, there's this great opportunity. Let's take advantage of this. So that's my little stint on why support groups are important. Staying connected with the agency before you adopt, after you adopt, really important as well, because those are the people that celebrate adoption. Those are the people that can help guide you here or there. They can give you insights because they've learned from other families who have adopted. They're hearing the most up-to-date information related to the world of adoption. So staying connected with an agency is really important as well. And I know that I've done that with the agency that I that assisted us with adopting our daughter. And to my daughter, every time she hears the name of our adoption advocate, her face just lights up. She just takes on this whole new shine. So that's a part of her story and a part of her identity, and I would hate for her not to have that. So that's another reason why I think it's important to stay connected.
Now, if you want more information on SOFIA, you can go to www.adoptionstar.com/SOFIA, S-O-F-I-A, or you can email Sophia at sophia@adoptionstar.com. Now, another thing, Sue, is that sooner or later your child's going to be going to school. He's going to have his own friends, and adoption is not shrouded in the secrecy that it once was. So how do you prepare your children to speak about their own adoption stories, to be able to share their stories with their classmates, with their teachers, with their friends?
You know, because we have switched from the world of closed adoption to the world of open adoption, that has had a big impact on children knowing information. And then children can be they can be both vulnerable and naive at the same time. And their naivety can allow them to share information about their family history that some people don't really need to have. It's not their business to have. And as children grow older, I really stress that you should be sensitive to what you share about your child's adoption story, because a child should have the right to share their adoption story. There can be questions asked by people that can be a little too intrusive, or they might be just questions asked because people are inquisitive. We're all inquisitive by nature. But it's hard to really draw the line or decide what's what. But our kids, as they get older, are going to be more sensitive. There's a lot of self-esteem issues that come into play. They may not want to share that information about having been adopted. And so you really need to give them that opportunity to decide what will be shared, with who it's going to be shared, how it might be shared. And quite honestly, that's when they have the opportunity to have their own voice. But you do want to help assist them with what's okay to say, as far as, you know, you don't want them to say to people, well, it's none of your business. Instead, help them maybe do a little role modeling or something as to, that's sort of my story, and move on to something else. So whatever they're comfortable with doing. Some kids are an open book. They're going to share everything and anything, and that doesn't bother them. Other kids, they can be a little more bothered by the questions, and it might be based on the feel from the person that's asking them the question. If they feel that it's somebody that's just being I don't want to say nosy, but I guess for lack of a different term at the moment, nosy, they may not want to share that. So I'd say always be available to your child and touch base with them as to what they're comfortable with and how much of their story they want to share. If there's things that people have mentioned about adoption that makes them upset, and really help them process that. They could become the best educators about adoption to those that don't know any better. And we go back again to the very beginning of this conversation related to how education plays a huge role in adoption. And it does. And it can start from the child in a school setting. It can be in the community. It can be the agency that provides it. But it's a full circle. Education is going to be the most important piece.
All right. Well, thank you, Sue, for taking the time today to speak with the podcast.
Sure.
If there's a family who is considering growing their family through adoption, how would they get into contact with the agency or with you, or what would their next step be?
Well, we try to make ourselves available in many different avenues. We have a toll-free number. You can call us live on the phone at 1-866-691-3300. You can locate us by our website, which is an incredible, very comprehensive website, and that's adoptionstar.com. You can find us on Facebook, and on facebook.com/adoptstar, so not the full term adoption star, but adopt star. Those would be great avenues to start at, and I really do encourage you to spend some time on that website. We put a lot of work into it, and it is incredible with the wealth of information. But also, when you call and you talk to our staff members via the phone, you can ask whatever questions you have, and we're very prepared to answer whatever those questions are and help guide you with learning more about adoption, because again, that's our goal, educate, educate.
Well, that's our show for the September edition of the Adoption Star podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for Sue Kolak for sitting here for a few minutes. If you have any questions about any topic that we covered today, you can call us at 716-639-3900 or our toll-free number at 1-866-691-3300, or you can email the agency at info@adoptionstar.com. Until next month, thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.